السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. How
are you?
الحمد لله سلام.
How are we going?
نعم شكرا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد, our book on these days is Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari Rahimahullah Muhammad ibn Ismail Abu Abdullah. And our discussions have been about things we can say and things we cannot say. When we say them, they will fall under Al-Ghiba. Al-Ghiba is backbiting. And it is so hateful for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam gave us a lot of similitudes and illustrations that would make us understand how so ignoble and bad backbiting al-ghiba could be. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us about a lot of illustrations, most of which, in fact, one of them was also clearly mentioned to us in the Quran. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا. Would any one of you desire to eat, consume the flesh of his dead brother? Allah said, فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. You are people of honor. You are people of esteem. Your basic human instincts are still sane. The basic human instincts, they are sane. So Allah said, فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. You would hate it. Because for some others, their basic human instincts are already warped. They are already destroyed. So they may not see that as anything. I think those are the people who eat the flesh of human beings. But regarding the companions, they are the original receivers of the Quran. That verse is evidence that they were a people who remained upon basic human natural instincts. Allah said, فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. You would hate, you would certainly detest consuming and eating up the flesh of your brother. So if this is the case, فَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. No of you, Ikhwa, should abide the rest of you. No Muslim should abide another Muslim. That is by mentioning about your brother regarding his body, or regarding his character, or regarding his deen, something that he will detest, would not like that things like that are mentioned about him. So don't do it. We also mentioned the exemptions, cases where the deen, yes, you'll be mentioning your brother negatively, but the deen would permit it. One of them was what the chapter we studied in the ended week last week, when Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, that one came under Hadith 759, said, Rahimahullah, Babu Qawli Rajuli, Fulanun Ja'dun, Aswadu Aw Tawilun Qasir. Can we say, hey, the man is Tawil, the man is tall, or Fulanun Ja'dun, the man has very tightly curled hairs. Can you describe somebody like that? He may not like it. But all that you intend is the description, not the name. Can you say he is Aswad? Ah, one black man just came here now, very black like this, without intending insult. Or one tall man, or one short man. You know Abdel Fattah, Abdel Razak? You know Rashid? Yes, that short brother. Yes, he's the one. Yuridu sifata wa la yuridu al-ghiba. And that description, he only intends the attribute, the description. He was not intending any demean or insult. He mentioned a number of ahadith under that chapter. The last one he mentioned under that chapter was the one from our mother Aisha, radiallahu anha, when she described another mother of ours, Sauda bint Zam'ah, radiallahu anha, that وَكَانَتْ إِمْرَأَةً ثَكِيلَةً صَدِقَةً, that our mother Sauda radiallahu anha كَانَتْ إِمْرَأَةً ثَكِيلَةً, she was a very heavy woman, heavy, radiallahu anha, صَدِقَةً ضَخْمَةً, صَدِقَةً is ضَخْمَةً, she's full, heavy, heavy, she would only take one step, the next step, radiallahu anha. We also mentioned in another hadith in Sahih Muslim, when our mother Aisha radiallahu anha described Sauda, that كانت imra'atan jasimatan, she was a woman jasima, who was huge, tafza'u nisa, she was tafza'u nisa jisman, in her beauty she was over what you would find with a lot of women. In all of this, what our mother Aisha intended, radiallahu anha, was what? As-sifa. She was not intending what? Al-ghiba. We came after that to the reports where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking about one of the messengers of Allah who had gone past. He was injured by his people. He had to wipe off blood from his face because of injury. And yet, instead of cursing his people, he began to make dua for them. Allahumma wafir li qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. O Allah, forgive my people. Because what they had done was something they did out of ignorance. What they did was what they did out of ignorance. We traced the story to understand that this one happened in the early days of Islam amongst Banu Thaqib, where the Prophet had gone, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make da'wah, and he was rejected, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was wounded, and rather than curse them, or order the angel to cover up the entirety of the city under the rocks, the Prophet was rather praying for them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet described this incident without directly mentioning the people. So Imam al-Bukhari deduced from that we can make shikayatul khabar. We can give a report. You can give a narration, and that would not imply that you are making ghiba. Why? The person you are talking about, even if what you are talking about him is far in the negative, you did not mention anybody's name. You did not give a description to say, I'm referring to so and so, in such a way that the people may be recognized. All that you did was to mention what happened. Something near that was the hadith of Zar that we'll be studying later today, inshallah, that our mother Aisha radiallahu anha told to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was patiently paying attention and listening to her sallallahu alayhi wa sallam radiallahu anha. In that hadith, 11 women gathered to speak about their husbands. They agreed, no one of us would tell anything That's not true about our husband. We'll be fair, we'll be clear, we'll be explicit at the same time. So for the 11 of them, while our mother, radiallahu anha, narrated this story, this report to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was talking about just some people. It will not count as riba regarding the husbands. One of the women who spoke about her husband, may Allah protect us. She spoke that this man said jaki aw falaki aw jama'a kullal laki. She had a husband who could beat her and wound her on the head. This incident happened before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the days of Jahiliyyah. A woman had a husband who could wound her on the head. May Allah protect us. Because a shajju has to do with injury on the head. Aw fallaki, or injury on the body. Aw jama'a kullal laki. Sometimes the husband would wound the wife both on the head and on the body. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was listening to this report from our mother Aisha, he did not know the man. He did not even know the woman. So when you give a report of a negative behavior by somebody, just by way of pointing to the behavior and picking out the lesson in it, it does not count as from either. I hope that we understand the connection. Why? You are just making shikaya. You are just narrating, or you are just giving an illustration. You are making shikaya to al-khabar. Yes, it happened. You are just reporting it without mentioning the specifics of the personality of the individuals involved. And these people you are telling, all that you desire from it, they are the ibar, the lesson, the benefit in it. You are not actually intending the presence in the report. So this one is also allowed, and it does not count as from the aspects of ghiba. From another thing that we are allowed to talk about in our religion, we are allowed to talk about it, is when we find a person upon indecency. Find a person of indecency. Indecency regarding a sin, committing a sin secretly, or planning to commit evil. Yes, we have a duty to bring these people. We have a duty to report them to constitution, to constituted authority. We have a duty to do so. If you find somebody planning evil, and this is one of the places, one of the times when al-riba, it's not referred to as riba. And when you refer to it as riba, you say it is riba mubaha. It is riba. That is what that is lawful in that tahdhir. You want to warn the generality of the people about a particular evil that was imminent. Someone was planning evil. Hey, that's an evil. Someone is planning. And that one is not counted as from al-ghiba. The ulama say when it is like that, we are starting that if you want to cover this man, if you want to protect him and not expose him, if you want to hide him and not show him to the world, if you want to shield him away from punishment, you must be sure that this man will stop this evil, and the people will not be harmed. They will stop what he has done, and then the harm will not spread. The man will stop, and then the harm will not spread. More so, if it was a man that has been known with righteousness and goodness. In such a case, even when it is established that he might have committed that sin, the basic rule is to cover him up. The basic rule is to protect him. The basic rule is to shield him and not expose him. So this brings us to Babu Manistatara Musliman, a chapter about the one who shields or hides a Muslim. A brother or a woman does something that was very, very bad. You approach this person, say, "What? Why did you do what you did?" So Allah, it was just a mistake. I was avoiding it. I was running away from it. I was until I fell upon it. This kind of a person, the basic rule is that you should hide him, you should protect him and not expose him. We remember the case, may Allah protect us, of Ba'iz ibn Malik, the man who committed zina amongst his people, may Allah protect us. He committed zina with a slave of the man who brought him up. Meanwhile, Ba'iz had gotten married, radiallahu anhu. In the end, Ma'iz was stoned to death for committing zina. But we remember that when he had approached his master, that one said, "Well, go and ask Abu Bakr al-Siddiq." He asked Abu Bakr al-Siddiq and Umar, as has also been reported regarding the story. On each occasion, each of them said, "Allah has covered you, cover yourself." And when the Prophet was finding out about Ma'iz, he asked his people, "How is Ma'iz amongst you?" He said, "Huwa min salihina." Ma'iz was from the most righteous amongst us. He was a righteous man amongst us. But the ulama said he would have covered up himself, and as the people covered up for him. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq did not report him. Omar did not report him. Why? The basic rule about Ma'iz was righteousness. So it meant he just fell short. He just slipped. He just got overpowered by desire. In these kinds of cases, the best thing is to cover up the Muslim and protect him. There are many other examples. When you see that the man, the basic rule about him, bismillah, is righteousness, is goodness. And then it's clear that he just fell here. All day, all night, he has been regretting what he fell into. May Allah protect all of us. He has been so preoccupied with repenting and turning to Allah in repentance. This kind of a person, don't expose him. You should protect him and you should shield him. Why? So that the society is protected from the news of evil. Because the news of evil itself might spread evil. The Quran does not like us to spread evil news. It does not like it. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us all. Said, "Inna alladhina yuhibbuna an tashi'a al-fahishatu fi alladhina amanu." There are some people, yuhibbuna an tashi'a al-fahishatu. They desire, they like it that evil is spread in the community. Oh, one ustaz committed one zina. Oh, one eleha, one nikobi committed. They like all these kind of things. Yuhibbuna an tashi'a al-fahisha. Some people are like that. It is one of the ways of the munafiqun. Why? They want to show that even righteous people fall. Does the Quran tell us that righteous people are masumun? People who never commit mistakes and errors? No. Righteousness does not, piety does not necessarily mean that the man never commits mistakes. Go to the Quran. Go to Surah Ali Imran. Righteous people too commit mistakes. But the issue is that they hasten and race towards repentance. They regret ever falling in the first place. They've been making efforts not to fall. They've been taking precautions never to fall. But he fell. May Allah protect us. So in these kinds of situations, the basic rule is astatr. We should not like to propagate it. We should not like to announce it. Liking to propagate that righteous people erred, righteous people failed, righteous people misbehaved, people see to be righteous. What you are indirectly telling the society is that they don't need to be righteous. They don't need to be pious. Why? Even pious people misbehave. So what are you talking about? The misbehavior was a mistake. You can't compare someone who made a mistake making effort to right his wrong with someone who lives upon an error. If you equate the two of them, you are equating between someone who deliberately jumped down from the skyscraper and someone who fell off from the skyscraper. No sensible person will equate between the two of them. The one who deliberately jumped down intended murder. The one who fell, everybody will run after him. We run to protect him. Why? It was an error. It was a mistake. He was not intending to kill himself or to kill any other person. May Allah protect us. So there are two different kinds of people. People who try never to fall into error, but somehow they fall into error. And people whose job is error itself. As for the first group of people, the basic rule is to protect them. The basic rule is to shield them. The basic rule is to hide them. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that man satara akhahu al-muslima fi dunya satarahu Allah yawm al-qiyamah. Man satara akhahu al-muslima fi dunya. Whoever shields, whoever protects, whoever hides the fault of his brother, satarahu Allah yawm al-qiyamah. Allah will shield him. Allah will protect him. He will not make him a thing of disgrace on the day of Qiyamah. He will protect you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another expression of the same hadith, said sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, وَمَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. The one who covers, protects, he hides the fault of the Muslim. He did not find a man upon a mistake, and he went ahead publicizing the mistake, publicizing the error by way of shaming him. This is not appropriate at all in our religion. The one who protects and shields such well-known people. This man made a mistake. It is not far-fetched. When you see someone who made a mistake and then fell into error, you will see to be clear that the infallibility of a human being is just there. وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. One time, when we were younger than this, a woman, let me say, now my wife, saw somebody who was washing the head. You know what this meant? Someone who's washing the head. It is from the aspects of shirk, as if they are washing away evil fortune. As if they are washing away evil fortune. They saw her so clearly with an afa onijalavi. And this woman is a very good woman. This woman is a very righteous woman, well known for good deeds. But she was brought to that place by her mother. They were seen so clearly, washing the head, as if the head had an idol that is responsible for good and evil. We know this one contradicts from the aspects of shirk, no doubt. So the case was reported to me. I said, this woman is a very good woman. She would have heard how. We know how Yoruba parents, or parents generally speaking, who are not duly exposed to Tawheed, who don't know the difference between Kufr and Iman, how they can put pressure on a woman or a man. Examples go in families, especially where they are not giving birth to a child. I met a brother yesterday carrying a young boy. May Allah bless that boy, increase that boy for that man with many more children. He said, Abu Nasir, I said, Naam. I waited for 11 years to be able to have this boy. 11 years to have that boy. 11 years he had been waiting. So I wasn't surprised after he said that. He brought the boy for Salatul Jumu'ah. The boy is just less than one year, maybe 5 or 6 months old. May Allah grant this boy long life upon Iman, upon sound health, upon deep knowledge, upon good piety. Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram, and the rest of our children. So you would see how so energetic he was in the masjid with that boy. He came for Salatul Jumu'ah yesterday. When we came out, they said, Ustaz, I waited to have this boy for 11 years. So I understood his energy. Between this period, how would parents handle them? The parents might have been very troublesome. They might have been introducing them to a lot of things that will contradict their deen, Islam. So I'm sure things like that happened to that woman too. Pressure about academics, pressure about marriage, pressure about wealth and work and all of this. But the woman was ordinarily a good woman. All we did was invite her husband so that her husband can question her. And from that time, this matter is over 25 years now, around 25 years. What I'm narrating about this woman, 25 years ago. So don't go out in the public to start exposing and announcing the fault of a person who actually fell. The person fell, following her desires, and following the dictates of shaitan, and following the dictates of the shayateen also among human beings. So the person fell. Don't expose somebody like this. If she fell, she was racing towards correcting herself. May Allah correct all of us and protect us from evils. So the basic rule about such persons is what Al-Imam al-Bukhari is talking about. Satrul Muslim. Covering up that Muslim. Shielding him, protecting him, and not exposing him and his faults. This one occurs as hadith number 758, which mentions a number of hadith and passages of the Quran that prohibit spreading evil about people well known for goodness and righteousness. We have also addressed it. If the man is known with evil, if the woman is known with evil, report the case. It will be from the aspect of at least the honor to see the friendship cooperating with others to put away the evil. A woman is known with evil. A man is known with evil. It goes all about amroba, kidnapper. Report that person. Report them. Zania, report them. Report them to those in charge. Don't forget. Report them to those in charge. Don't come to the public to announce indecency. May Allah protect all of us. So at hadith number 758, Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Bishr ibn Muhammad, Qala akhbarana Abdullah, Qala haddathana Ibrahim ibn Nashir, An Ka'b ibn al-Qama, An Abil Haytham, Qala, جاء قوم إلى عقبة ابن عامر فقالوا إن لنا جيرانا يشربون ويفعلون فنرفعهم إلى الإمام، أفنرفعهم إلى الإمام؟ قال لا، سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول: ما رأى من مسلم عورة فسترها كان كمن أحيا موءودة من قبرها. من رأى من مسلم عورة فسترها كان كمن أحيا موءودة من قبرها. الإمام البخاري reported this hadith from Hishaym بشر بن محمد. He reports this hadith from Hishaym بشر بن محمد who said أخبرنا عبد الله. This is in reference to الإمام أبو عبد الرحمن عبد الله بن المبارك. So Abdullah here refers to Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, the Imam, well-known from the scholars of Sunnah. He said, حَدَّثَنَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ ibn نَشِيبٍ. Ibrahim ibn نَشِيبٍ here is al-Misri, Abu Bakr al-Misri, well-known from the scholars of Egypt. He is reporting from Ka'b ibn al-Qamah. Ka'b ibn al-Qamah was also from the scholars of Egypt. It's Ka'b ibn al-Qamah al-Misri. It's from well-known scholars, Ahad al-Siqat, one of the very reliable people amongst the scholars of Egypt, Ka'b ibn al-Qamah. He is reporting from Abu al-Haytham. Abu al-Haytham is mentioned to be Kafir. So they say he is Abu al-Haytham, Kafir al-Misri. He was also from the people of Egypt. He was mentioned to be Mawla, a freed slave of Uqba ibn Amir al-Juhani, one of the companions, radiallahu anhum, that was sent to Egypt by Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, Uqba ibn Amir al-Juhani, radiallahu anhum. So it was said that Abu al-Haytham was his freed slave. It was said that Abu al-Haytham Kathir was his freed slave. Nothing is known about this person, much more than this. Does he preserve his ahadith? What kind of a person was he? So his adala was not known. And his dub, his precision at preserving reports was not also known. But somebody like that was spoken about, Kafir Abu al-Haytham al-Misri. He was mentioned to be Mawla Uqba ibn Amir, a freed slave of Uqba ibn Amir al-Juhani. Because his adala and his dubt were not known, La Yuraf, he wasn't known. This hadith has a weakness in it. This report has a weakness in it. Fortunately, he is the one reporting the incident. Someone is reporting an incident, and we cannot verify his personality. Neither can we verify its precision at reporting a hadith. So it puts a question mark there. The lesson here is for us to understand, before the scholars of hadith say that a hadith is sahih, you should know that the chain is properly linked. When they say hadithun sahihun, they have checked it. They have verified the reporters, well-known people with precise precision, ability to preserve and convey reports is sound. They say this hadith is sahih, free linguistically, free from error, free from the error that will prevent us from depending on it. For here, this report has an issue. The precision of reports by this person, Abu al-Haytham Kathir Mawla Uqba ibn Amir, is not known. And he's the one that is narrating the incident. He said, Ja'a qawmun ila Uqbata ibn Amir. Some people approached, they came to Uqba ibn Amir, faqalu. And then they said, إِنَّ لَنَا جِرَانًا يَشْرَبُونَ وَيَفْعَلُونَ. We have some neighbors who يشربون, they drink perhaps alcohol, ويفعلون, and they do other deeds, drink alcohol and do things. There are people stay nails. These people drink alcohol and they do deeds. They do things. Regarding them, we spoke in class yesterday on Kitab al-Kaba'ir after Salat al-Asr, that the Imam can be called a Sultan, the Imam, the ruler of the people of Islam in the community, the government. Just as we call a president, you can refer to him as Imam, you can refer to him as Khalifa, you can refer to him as Waliyul Amr. They are those in power. So should we report to the government, to authorities? It was said that Uqba ibn Amir said, La, no, don't report them. Samitu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam yaqul. Because I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam saying that, أَرَأَى مِن مُسْلِمٍ أَوْرَةً فَسَتَارَهَا ما رأى من مسلم عورة فسترها. Whoever sees عورة من مسلم. عورة are those places on our body that we don't like people to see. Things on our body we don't like people to see. When they see them, we are shy. For males, between our navel to our knees, by compulsion, by obligation, wujuban, compulsory. Ikhwa, nobody should see between your navel and your knee except your wife. Nobody should see between the navel and the knee of a man except his wife. And for a woman, between your neck and your knees. Some scholars say all parts of your body except your face and your palms. But other women can see bigger than that. Other women can see your head. Other Muslim women can see those places that become exposed ordinarily when a woman is walking. So they say she can see, other women can see from a Muslim woman up to her elbows or areas near her shanks, between her knee and her ankle. But from her neck down to between her knee and her ankles, she must keep it covered regularly between a woman and a woman. But between a man and a woman, it is the entirety of her body, except for her maharim, her father, her uncles, and all others. These people can see from her what an ordinary woman can see from. A maharim can see from a woman what other women can see from her. So these things that we must cover, they are our awrat. Well, here are the faults, the blemishes, the flaws of the Muslims. They are also called awrat. Why? Because they are things that we don't like people to see about us. Sane people don't like to be seen upon sin. Sane people don't like to be seen upon indecency or obscenity. No sensible person wants to be seen upon that. So that's why sin, flaws are also called aura. So in this report, it was said that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man ra'a min muslimin auratan fasataraha. Whoever notices or sees an aura, a fault, or a flaw from a Muslim, fasataraha, and then you cover that flaw, that fault, that failure, that error, that sin, that misbehavior, that bad behavior, that obscenity that he fell into, you covered him. كَانَكَ مَنْ أَحْيَا مَوْهُودَةَ مِنْ قَبْرِهَا. that person who has done that, he will have the reward of the person Ahya Maw'udatan, who brought life to a Maw'uda. Al Maw'uda, Allah spoke about them in the Quran. It was from the evil behavior of the Arabs during Jahiliyyah, when they gave birth to a girl. They go and bury the young girl. May Allah protect us. So this is Maw'uda. They don't like to have girl children, the girl child, young girls, newborns, because they think that what will I do with a girl? They will be spending and taking care of a girl. What will the girl do back to me? So you can see Arabs did not used to expect that their daughters will come back and then, no, girls are rather things you spend on. You spend on them. They don't have any benefits to bring to you. This was the thinking of the people in Jahiliyyah. So they buried their daughters alive. Allah spoke very seriously in the Quran about this. وَإِذَا بُشِرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِمَا ضَرَبَ لِلرَّحْمَنِ مَثَلًا وَإِذَا بُشِرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنثَى, and so on. Whenever any one of them was given the information of a newborn, and that newborn happens to be a girl, Allah said, ضَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَذِيبٌ. You see, his face is turns black. It becomes fat. So if you save that kind of a girl, the reward you get is huge. فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. As it occurs in another verse of the Quran, you have the reward of the one who saved the entirety of human beings. So that is the reward for the one. Something similar to that is the reward of a person who sees someone upon a fault, a Muslim upon a fault, and then he covers the fault of that Muslim. This report, as we said earlier, it has in it Abu Laytham, Mawla Uqbata ibn Amir al-Juhani radiallahu anhu, wala yu'r. This person, Abu Laytham, is not known, and he occurs in this isnad. So this isnad is not found. We can even find from the expressions something that shows that perhaps the reporter mixed up the report, because it is clear that these people, yashrabuna wa yafalu, they were people who were persistent upon drinking alcohol and evil deeds. They are not people who were of unrighteousness. We can say, oh, they made a mistake. These people are normally upon evil, on their normal selves. Oh, they are upon evil. Such persons should be reported to constituted authority. Don't forget, we gave exceptions to Viva. So explaining to those people, reporting those kinds of people to constituted authority is lawful. Don't forget that. We should also do that when there is a zulm in that tazallumi. We must also do that when the people are people spreading evil, and all of these, we'd explain those exceptions. So if we know people to be of evil, if we see them committing evil, report them. If we see a people who are hardly seen of this man, I don't know him to be so bad, then he erred, got overwhelmed with his desires, got overwhelmed with shaitan amongst human beings and amongst the jinns, and then he fell into the sin. Please cover him up. Don't announce that false to the people, because it's like a man who fell from a skyscraper. His case should not be treated like a man who jumped down deliberately intending suicide. And these two things are clearly different with every reasonable person. One of the scholars said, what if we can't determine where the person belongs? We don't know whether he was righteous. We don't know. The ulama, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, specifically, He said there are other things that will be connected to that incident that will show where and what we should do. Some other things will be connected to the incidents that will guide us to know whether we should raise the matter or we should conceal the matter and shield him. Some other things will be connected to it. If we can't find anything, the Sheikh said, Rahimahullah, we should cover him up. If you can't find anything showing that, report him, then cover him up. Conceal that point. Don't come in the public to start telling us evil people committed in privacy. Don't bring evil to the public. The more evil is brought to the public, that's why the ulama usually say that thing. That's nashrul fahisha ti fahisha. Publicizing indecency itself is indecent. Avoid bringing indecency to the public. It's a very common thing now. Breaking news, breaking news. People who are making blogs of different kinds, they want to bring people's private life to the public. Some people also want to bring their private life to the public. Keep that away from us. The Quran said that. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that in the Quran. Those who like that indecency spreads in the community. Allah said subhanahu. In this world, يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Amongst the people of Iman, in a thin, nice, calm climb of Muslims and people of Iman, you want to announce, hey, somebody did this, that. Please don't bring that to the public. Don't bring that to the public. Those who do that, لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. They will suffer a painful punishment on the day of Qiyamah. Don't bring evil to the public. Don't bring indecency to the public. That's why government must increase its control over the social media. It is only in Nigeria where everybody says everything on the social media. And it's really, really unfortunate. It is affecting the security of our country that everybody is saying just everything. Everybody becomes a news broadcaster without certificate. Even some of the broadcasting houses have been broadcasters of insecurity. Some of the broadcasting houses have become broadcasters of insecurity. Because when you broadcast evil, it spreads. When you broadcast evil, it spreads. When government wants to make that kind of a broadcast, they control it. They know what they say, they know what they did not say. They know what they say, they know what they will not say, because they are experienced in it. They know what you can give to the public, they know what you should not give to the public. When recently one of the people troubling security in Kogi was killed, may Allah protect all of us, the body was exhumed. A special force came from the office of the NSA to exhume the body, because his accomplices ran away with his body. So government sent people, go and exhume that body. People were shouting, why are you exhuming body? Why? Look at this, what concerns you? 2-3 days ago, two women, his mother and his wife, were convicted. Can you now connect the dots? Can you connect why his body was exhumed? Why it was necessary to look for him? Of course, to establish the DNA between him and the two women who were convicted. But government will not be telling you everything. We're in a place where people want government to be telling them everything. If government tells you everything, you will not be able to sleep. You worry, you will kill you. May Allah protect all of us. So people will run into several mental disorder when you hear everything. Is that not the hikmah behind some of the things that Allah has covered us from seeing. Look at Al-Ghayb. We do not see the jinns. Do we see the jinns? يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. They see us, but we don't see them. Imagine that Allah makes us to see jinns. How will it be? Imagine that even the microorganisms in our toilets and bathrooms, we see them with our eyes. Those structures, those bacteria, fungal, virus, all of this, if we see them in the way they are, really, some of them look so dreadful. So we are covered up from not seeing everything so that we can have peace of mind. The same thing, look at the sound that we hear. Allah has given us the frequency that we can hear. Below it, we will not hear. Above it, we will not hear in harmonics. There are some sound of certain frequencies. We cannot hear it. Why? Because they are too high for our ears to sense and pick up for our hearing. And some of them, we cannot hear them. Why? They are too low for our sense of hearing to pick up. So he gave us a range, subhanahu wa ta'ala, rahmatan lana, the means of mercy and compassion for us. Imagine us hearing sounds that deafen us. Imagine us hearing sounds that are so small, they become a means of worry to us. You hear the sound of the mosquito, you hear the sound of every moving object, which will become a problem. So the same thing, if government brings every information to the public, equality is a problem. Unfortunately, we're in a generation that thinks that government should tell them everything. Unfortunately, everybody is also able to say just anything. This kind of a thing itself is from the aspects of insecurity in any community. Government should properly and duly control what people can say in public. People must be authorized to say certain things. Not everybody should say everything. Not everybody should say everything. Everybody who says everything. Anybody who says what government does not and has not permitted it him or her to say should be arrested. Appropriate laws should be set up to make us understand that not everybody can say everything. And it is not appropriate that everybody is saying everything. This one also occurs in the circles of the scholars regarding the matters of knowledge. Everybody goes about saying everything and anything, and that is not appropriate. Everybody goes about saying just everything and anything. That is not appropriate too. When everybody says everything and anything, it is also from the things that will bring insecurity in the land. May Allah protect us and forgive all of us. Our lesson here is about protecting the honor of those who are honorable people who make mistakes. Protect their honor. They've been upon these matters of honor for years, 40, 50, 60 years. Then upon a mistake and an error one day, you rubbish them, you bring them to the public and destroy their honor. Don't behave like this. Our religion recognizes that no human being, every human being is fallible. No human being is infallible. Someone who does not make mistakes, no. Cover him up. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, cover him up. As-satara akhahu al-Muslim. Anyone who shields his brother who is a Muslim. Fi dunya, in this world, satarahu Allahu fi dunya wal-akhirah. You too, Allah will shield you in this world. He will not disgrace you. He will not also bring you disgrace on the day of Qiyamah. But if the people are people of evil and sin, we know. Once you see them, refer their case to the appropriate authorities. If it is a woman, report her case to her husband. If it is a child, report his case to his father and mother. Every person requiring discipline. If it's a teacher, report the case to consulted authority. If it's a student, report the case, so that person can be taken care of appropriately. Avoid hiding faults that are dangerous to society and community. Otherwise, you too, you'll be held responsible as an accomplice. Now, when you can't determine the person, where does he belong? The basic rule is protect him. Don't come in the public to announce indecency. Until you see one reason that you make you say, oh, this man, I think he's an evil man, basically. Or, oh, no, he's a righteous person. The basic rule is protecting, concealing, and hiding. Don't bring evil to the public to disturb the peace and the rest of mind of the generality of the public. The public has a right not to be disturbed with alarming and agitating information. Unfortunately, the society has become like that now. I hope and I pray that our government will look at that and make appropriate laws. Not everything should be brought to the public. Allah protect and forgive all of us. I hope that this lesson is clear, Abu Amr.
السلام عليكم يا شيخنا.
آمين وإياكم أبا يوسف حاوي.
الحمد لله بالخير.
There's a question here. I think that's the first question. Is that concerning Abdul Rabbid and Wa Jazaw Zaw Khair? وعليه السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. It's a concerning Ghibah. If a Muslim dies and the janaza is to be performed on him, if one knows that the person engages in shirk when he was alive, even though he was hiding it from the generality of the people, it's correct to inform the people that he was upon shirk? Will that count as riba? His case would be like the case of the Munafiqun. The Munafiqun, yubqinun al-kufra. They were hiding kufr. In their hearts, they were kufar. They did not have any iman in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor in what he brought. But for their own personal reasons, personal iman, worldly benefit. Yuzhiruna al-Islam. They were showing to the public and the generality of the Muslims that they are Muslims. This is the scenario that it resembles. It resembles that the man is munafiq, mushrik truly, but feigning Islam. So you should abstain from that janaza. Don't attend the janaza. That was how the companions who knew the names of Munafiqun behaved. People like Hubayfa ibn al-Yaman. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him the names of the specifics of Munafiqun in Al-Madina. So it is reported of him that if any one of them passed away, he did not attend the janaza. And some of the companions would watch. If Huzaifa came, okay, demand it from the people of Iman. If Huzaifa did not come, it means that that person is munafiq. So it means one of the things you can do, Huzaifa was not coming in the public to say, hey, it's munafiq. It was only by himself avoiding such janais of both people who were munafiqu. Wallahu a'lam. You can avoid the janaza and keep away from him and allow the people to do what was clear to them. I hope that this is clear. from the life of Huzaifa that we cited.
Of Adam.
The second question here. The person said after Tafsir and Dua, Walayhi Salam wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh. I have a question regarding enjoining forbidding. If a brother and a sister in an Islamic school, they are repeatedly spending long periods talking together, and they are later seen alone together in an enclosed room, and this is reported to the school administration, who then advises them to stop such interaction. This is a ruling school in such matters, but choose not to report them out of fear that the individuals involved may become upset, may become hostile, or that they may hostile instead. Remaining silent in such a situation is simple, especially when one believes that informing those in authority may help to prevent a greater problem. Ikhwa, the first problem is that you have brought boys and girls together in a school. This thing will just say, if pilates in schools are haram. All the scholars speak about it. Sheikh Bumbaz, Sheikh Ibn Taymin, Sheikh Al-Albani, all our elders amongst the scholars that we know, amongst the people of Sunnah, they say that schools of boys and girls are not lawful. They say boys and girls in the same school is not good, even if they are children. Should you not start teaching your children to distance themselves from boys if they are girls, and from girls if they are boys, from a very early age? Please, we should stop it. Boys' school separate, girls' school separate, boys' primary school separate, girls' primary school separate. Start it from their own brothers. Separate schools for boys and girls are very important. When you do this also, start trying to make sure that men teach boys, women teach girls. Let us try to do all this. They are part and parcel of our religion. Boys teach, men teach boys, then women teach girls. When you mix it up, then you can start a trouble, whether among staff or among students, whether among staff or among students. Many things happen in schools. Many happen in schools. Even in those schools where there are single boys and single girls, you still have a lot of job to do in terms of care, in terms of monitoring, in terms of managing, in terms of everything. We still have a duty, a big, big duty to manage all of this. So please, for the sake of Allah, let us start from there. If you now ask, will they now also go to girls' university? Yes. Bismillah, Allah will provide that university soon. I heard about one in Zaria. There are many in the Muslim world. In Egypt, there is Al-Azhar Qismul Banat in Egypt. In other parts of the Arab world, there are singly girls' universities. We have had a lot of Muslim women in professors in various branches of knowledge now. What is difficult for us to separate them? Start up an Islamic university for girls. Is there anything wrong about that? But the issue is, we the ones who cannot even separate kindergarten, are we the ones who want to separate university? When the resources required will be much larger and much more demanding. So let's start from the one that is, I can say, easily attainable. Separate your children in that kindergarten, boys and girls. Separate them. We hear a lot of things. Separate the primary schools too. separate the secondary schools. That you have separated them now does not now even mean that you leave them. You still supervise and watch, because many things go on. Many boys and girls learn a lot of evil things before they come to school. Parents releasing their children to television. Some boys are so bad morally. Some girls too are deteriorate. They have deteriorated morally. Why? They're already exposed to watching films, watching porns, watching so many things. So even if you separate, you have to properly monitor. Now, how about when you don't separate? May Allah protect us. This is the foundation of this question that we have addressed. Now, in places where they do not separate, you see, now we're solving, trying to find solutions. If you find a man and a woman, or a boy and a girl always walking everywhere, and they are not mahram to themselves, start from there. That is bad. If there are people that you can talk to them. You yourself, if there are people you can admonish, admonish them. If there are people you cannot admonish, speak to the teacher who can admonish them to stop moving, following themselves about. Because that following themselves about, shaitan will manipulate it. And it will turn to become something else gradually. And then they find themselves in all of things that you are asking about. The problem started from mixing up the schools, boys and girls. Some parents can say they have to control themselves so that when they go to a bigger society, it's like saying you have to corrupt yourself because society is corrupt. So corrupt your children first. That's appropriate. But then, you know, if we send them to boys and girls, they learn how to control. Okay. So you have to corrupt somebody. Expose the person to corruption first before you protect them from corruption. You expose them to corruption because you don't want them to be corrupt. Or you protect them from corruption while still educating them about the evils of corruption. So they know that there's corruption. But when you expose them to it from a young age, they are not able to avoid it. They become very corrupt. Equa, many boys and girls in secondary schools, boys and girls schools are very corrupt. Forget about the name of the school. Call the name of the school Muhammadu Rasulullah Secondary School. It does not mean that they are not corrupt. Boys and girls in schools at the same time. They exchange love letters. They exchange a lot of things indecently. It can also happen when the school is separate, because of the corruption of some of the children already from their homes. Some parents themselves are corrupt individuals. Some parents themselves are corrupt individuals. May Allah protect all of us. So if you are in the position, as you have asked this question, to admonish that boy and girl you are staying together, admonish them. If you are not in the position to do so, report them to teacher who is in the position to collect them. I hope that this is clear, reason about Yusuf. But you have complete time. I just looked at this now. We're about 14 minutes away. Can we call it a day today? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.